actually, they don't have to, though. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tatir, Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Taharenu, Nora, Kufrei Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kivavat, Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin, Barhem Taharem, Rakamei Sidkatcha, Tamid Gamlem, Betet Resh, Tzadi Taf Gimel, Hasin Kadosh, Birov Tuvcha, Nael Adatach, Ket Kuf Bet, Tet Nunayan, Yachid Ge'e, Lamcha Penei, Zokre Kiddushata, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf, Shabbatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadi Yud Taf. The letters of the month of Tammuz, the Taf that created the planet Lavana, the moon, and the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab. Together they have a gematria of 408, which is the gematria of the Hebrew word zot, which means this. Zot is the word that the Kabbalists teach us as a metaphor for Malchut, because it has the Zion, which is seven, and the Aleph to Taf, all of the letters of the Aleph Bet. It's very much a vessel and very much its manifestation. That's the month of Tammuz and the potential that we have, as long as we remember to be happy and not be reactive to these mood swings of this month. And the eighth verse, we say in a whisper,
Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves.
On the telephone conference, if you want to be heard, please press *6 and then ask your question and then press *6 again, because there's a lot of feedback going on. I'm reading from the Zohar, from the Parsha of Balak. I'm reading from section 2, verse 1. Section 2 is titled Sihon and Og. These are the two negative kings that were defeated. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kononei aleinu maasei yadeinu kononeihu. Ketiv amar Hashem mi bashan ashiv ashiv mim tzulot yam. Itla l'shavavta liba lim hemnuta dekud shabarichu dekol milo. Mile kashot Hemnuta sagim dekevan demila amar kola itaved vedabarnash dachik libavi amar lekama shanin ulkama zimnin yishtalim dadi ihu kach kefum Rav Ravanu, delay de kol almin malya, yikare haki hu. Milo barnash ze er mu de kol milo inun, lefum sha'ata haki. Hu lefum sha'ata aval, bati uvta uva uta. Uvo vadin tavin uvdimin sagiin ihu kadisha rav ila'a al kol alma azhir nehore vekamit kedushaite legabe debarnash lemabad reute. Verse 7, it is written, Hashem said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. We must pay attention to the faith in the Holy One, blessed be He, since all His words are spoken with truth and great faith. As soon as He utters something, it is immediately completely accomplished. If a person who is narrow of heart says that it will take several years and much time to fulfill his wish, that is what happens. The Holy One, blessed be He, in accord with His dominion, that all the universe is filled with His glory, reflects His way. A person's words are of small consequence, and all his words are of a temporary nature. Similarly, He Himself is of a temporary nature, like a passing shadow. However, He is sanctified with repentance and prayer and good deeds and lots of tears, since the Supernal One, who is higher than all the world, lights His lamp and contracts His holiness to that person to do His wish. That's an amazing verse. It's teaching us that what we decide, what our words verbalize, is what comes into being. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu created us. He created us to reveal His light. If we have a desire for something, that indicates that there's some light within that desire that needs to be revealed. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make that happen. Many times, and I'm just using this as an example, but it's true in all areas of our life. You go ask a young person or a single person, when are they getting married? And their answer is, tomorrow, next year, when I meet the right person. Everything is being put off by those words into the future. The correct answer to when are you getting married is today, right now. But I haven't met the right person. You'll meet the right person if you decide to get married today. It's all a function of your consciousness. It applies to marriage. It applies to many, many other things. It's a very
lesson. How do you account for failure?
There's no such thing as failure. There's an expectation that isn't met. The expectation is from an ego. It's not meant to be met. It's not part of the plan of Hashem. Our egos are not meant to help us. Our egos are meant for us to overcome them. It's difficult for people to understand that because our ego is us. Hanoch has an ego. That's what makes him Hanoch. And at the same time,
I am an ego.
The ego separates us from everybody else. It separates us from the Creator most of all. And this is the lesson that we need to learn to let go. So how can there be a failure? You had a goal, you strive to reach it, and in the process you learned whatever you learned. That's what the purpose of that goal was. It wasn't to achieve the goal, because once you ever achieve any goal, what happens next? You're on to the next goal. This whole lesson is about process. This whole physical world is about process. That's what it means when Hashem gave us 7,000 years. He gave us a process. If he wanted a goal, as he says, when his words go out, this verse just said it, when his words go out, it manifests. Everything comes into being. There's no process there. There's cause and effect. But there's no process. There's no time. But in our world, there's time. In our world, there's process. And that is the purpose of our world. So if we say, I'm going to get married a year from now, Chas v'Shalom, I've just seen it manifest in my old roommate's life. He's a man who's never been married under Jewish law, which he considers a major issue. So he has spent the last 3 years focusing on meeting the right person to get married. And he met somebody, traveled all around the country, all around the world. He met somebody right where he was living. I asked him yesterday, when are you getting married? His answer was, doesn't look so bright right now. He knows better. He knows better. Every time I asked him, it's always off in the future. He knows better. But Baruch Hashem, it's all process. There is no failure. It's all what you learn in the process.
I mean, you're saying it's not failure, you're stalling it for the next year or so. It's a stall instead of failure.
No, it's not a stall. It's a learning. It's a process of learning. We learn whatever it is we learn. And that's why each thing comes into our life. Everything that happens to us, everything that comes into our life, every person who comes into our life is an opportunity for us to learn about ourselves. You either learn it or you don't learn it. There's no failure. If you don't learn it, the universe is going to send that same potential learning back to you. It's just process. Enjoy the process. Be happy in the process. This is a teaching of Kabbalah. It's not always easy to manifest. How can I be happy? The doctor just said I had cancer. Well, I had that experience. How can I be happy? Somebody just broke into my house and stole all my wealth. How can I be happy? That's the opportunity. Chas v'shalom to both of those scenarios. But both of those scenarios was part of my world. There were experiences that I learned to be happy. On the conference call, please press *6 to ask a question. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we start? Okay. Today's class, you can get to the handout as all the time we start in our prayer class, by going to yeshem.com/kabbalahprayer.htm. And that's spelled, I'm not going to spell it Yeshem each time, but Kabbalah is K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H hyphen prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R dot H-T-M. And if you scroll down when that page opens, the last item starts with the column that says eating, and the next column is blessings over food. Please click on that, because that'll take you to the handout. Today we are going to talk about blessings over food and start to teach you some of the specifics. I recommend that you purchase for a few dollars from Art Scroll or any Jewish bookstore a small booklet that tells you what blessings to say over which types of foods. But generally, as we'll talk about it, there's a hierarchy to blessings. But it's not a hierarchy in the sense of one level is more important than the other, as we'll come to understand. In Psalms, it tells us to always keep Hashem before us. This applies to everything in our life. Always keep Hashem before us. What does that mean practically? Well, the person standing in front of you talking to you is Hashem, or a channel from Hashem, which is the same thing. And the words he says is a message from Hashem. That's a way of keeping Hashem in front of you always, if you can maintain that consciousness. But let's be honest, most of us get busy with other things and forget. One way to keep Hashem in front of us is by injecting the consciousness of Hashem into mundane, normal, everyday acts. That is one purpose of saying a blessing over food. By saying a blessing, we are injecting Hashem into a mundane, normal, everyday act of eating. The action of eating is a mundane, everyday act. When we say a blessing, we are injecting the consciousness of Hashem into ourselves, as well as activating the energy essence of the food. And we will discuss that in a little bit. Many people rebel at the idea of saying a blessing. They ask, what benefit do I get? I look at people who bless their food and people who do not bless their food, and I see no difference. The answer is in the first basic class on Kabbalah that you attended with me. The world is an illusion, and we do not see the whole picture. Even our senses are created to sense incompletely, as we know. We do not see infrared and ultraviolet light. We do not hear sounds above and below the normal hearing spectrum. We do not smell what we are not designed to smell. And there are many other limitations within our senses. Now let's look, truly, really look at the food. We see an apple. Inside the apple we can see, but usually do not see, four levels or worlds. There's the skin. There's the meat of the apple. There's the core, and within the core are the seeds. Four levels of worlds. These four levels of worlds are both inside the apple and outside the apple. There's four levels in everything inside and four levels outside. This is the physical level that we... These four levels outside are above the physical level that we are seeing with our normal senses. One of those levels is what we see, the physical world. But there are three additional levels, three other worlds, that we don't normally have the senses to perceive. When we say a blessing in Hebrew, we are activating the energy of this apple in all of these levels, not just partaking of a physical apple. When we eat the apple, we are receiving this activated energy on all four levels or worlds that we live within. Right now, I exist, I live in the physical world. But I also live and exist in the four interior worlds, in inner levels, and in the four outer levels. When we say a blessing after the eating, which we will learn about in another class, but please know, and it's very important to know, that it's good to say a blessing after you eat. This is a spiritual teaching from the Torah that only applies to Jewish people. Other people aren't taught to do this. Other spiritual paths do not teach this. It is an extremely important aspect. Continuing, as we say a blessing after eating, we send that energy to our personal energy store in the Sefirah of Bina. That energy is then available to use at another time or place when we will need it. I've said that very quickly, but it's something you need to contemplate. We live in the Sefirah of Bina also. When we say a blessing, we activate the energy in all four worlds. When we say the blessing after eating, we send the energy we've taken into us by eating and store it in Bina, in a place that we can activate it when we need it. When do we need it? What do you think activates your adrenaline? What do you think activates your fight or flight response? Or you can follow the teachings of science. They're not incompatible. They're very compatible. But one sees the physical only, and one recognizes the spiritual. When we eat without saying a blessing, there is only the physical food that is utilized by the physical body. There is no protection from the negative side, which may or may not have permission to corrupt the spelling of the words that make energy. The Hebrew letters combine to make Hebrew words. Those Hebrew words come into manifestation. The energy we eat in the form of food is how our bodies handle it. Satan just changes a few letters, rearranges the letters, and all of a sudden, that energy becomes fat. But he needs permission from the higher levels, because that's something that heavy people like myself need to learn. The answer in this world is an illusion. And saying of a blessing without a proper intention is just an empty body. I skipped a sentence, so let me explain it. There is no protection from the negative side when we don't say a blessing, which may or may not have permission to corrupt the spelling of the words that make energy. This corrupted spelling is why people become overweight. Hey, Hanoch, I see religious people who say blessings who become overweight. So how can you say that the blessing is a protection from this? The answer is this world is an illusion, and the saying of a blessing without a proper intention is just an empty body, a body without a soul. Better than nothing.
What about diabetes?
1 second, Joe.
What about diabetes?
1 second, let me finish. Better than nothing, but not as effective as it needs to be in protecting the process of converting energy of food into the energy in the storehouse. Be that storehouse within the human body or the Sephirah of Binah. Now, Joe has asked, what about diabetes? So in what sense, Joe?
Well, you eat food and that's converts it to sugar, and the sugar doesn't get burnt up, and that excess sugar causes diabetes. So is that a negative?
Diabetes is a disease. You eat the food and the sugar goes into the body, but the body has an inability to handle it in a proper way. That's where the Satan has corrupted the language, the letters, the words. Diabetes is a disease. It has a spiritual cause, and the Zohar is very clear on what is that spiritual cause. And it upsets people a lot to hear this truth. The spiritual cause of diabetes is a stupid ego. It's an ego that feels it's entitled when it has no true merits, no true actions that it has ever accomplished. That's hard for people to hear. I happen to be one of them.
I that's beyond me.
Continuing. When we see someone eat food that is not blessed, they are only receiving a small percentage of the energy they are capable of receiving. One of the scientific measurements of energy is a number of calories. Let's assume the physical apple produces 100 calories. How much energy is available in the apple? Remember the formula from Albert Einstein, E equals mc squared. Even if the apple is only 1 gram, this formula would produce in excess of 1 million calories. Oh, by the way, do not worry about the additional calories. They do not go to the physical body. They go to various other locations, including your soul and your energy storage bin, located in the world of Briah, the world of creation. In fact, this additional energy can be used to transform your excess physical weight into becoming slimmer and thinner, if that is your desire. The next section is a discussion on hierarchy. Everything in this world is in the form of a hierarchy. Remember when the Torah was given on Mount Sinai? Moshe was at the highest level, with Aaron and his sons slightly below. Then followed by the Sanhedrin, which are the 70 elders. Then a little further down the mountain, the chiefs of the tribes, followed at the lowest level by the general people, who needed to stay off the mountain as the energy of holiness was too much for their vessels. Think about this. Ask yourself, why was it necessary to receive the Torah, to hear the Esser Dibrot in this hierarchical way? The answer to this question is unity. When two things come together in unity, there is a spatial relationship, or we can call it a directional relationship between them. One is on top, one is on the east, one is on the north, etc. This relationship is the cause of a hierarchy. This relationship is not about higher and lower, although we find it easier to perceive as that metaphor. It is a hierarchical relationship. This is true of all things in this physical world. This is even true about food. That is why there are 7 blessings for food and 3 blessings for after you eat the food. Do you recognize the relationship of 3 and 7?
10. 10 spherot.
The spherot, the 10 spherot, the 3 upper spherot that are not part of our physical world, and the 7 lower sephirot. I realize that this concept of hierarchy takes a lot of thought, and I give you that as homework. But to be able to say a blessing for the food that you eat is a very important process in raising your level of holiness. Let's now look at the hierarchical relationship to food. Another way of seeing this is in the categorization of food as it relates to blessings before food. The sages have taught us that food is categorized as the following. I say here from lowest to highest, but it's not really low to high. It's like saying that chesed and gevurah, one is higher than the other, and we say that. But one is necessary. Gevurah is necessary to limit chesed, because too much chesed is destructive, which is gevurah. And so this relationship of the hierarchy is not a low to high, but a cause and effect. Please do not see this as a better or less better variety. Do not relate to the hierarchies in our world this way, as one is better than the other. But everything in this world has a hierarchy within it and related to it. This order, from the lowest, and again, I'm not saying lowest, is a declaration of a fast. If you're not going to eat, usually that's done to raise your spiritual level. But if you don't make a declaration, tomorrow I'm going to have a fast, it's an empty gesture. It's a physical body of a fast. You do fast, and you get some benefit. But how much more would you get by just saying the day before, tomorrow I'm going to fast? The next level is called all things that are revealed by His Word. The Hebrew is a she'akol. The next level, fruits and vegetables that grow close to the ground or not on trees, and we will discuss that in a little bit. The next level, fruits and vegetables that grow on trees. The next level, items made from grain products, but that are not bread, cakes, and cookies. They're not bread. The higher level is bread, which also includes the washing of the hands. Do you think my mother would ever let me eat fruit without washing my hands as well as the fruit? I know this is going to sound crazy to you all, but today I do wash my hands before I eat fruit. But I do not wash the fruit. Because what's injected into my human body system strengthens my immune system by giving it the opportunity to overcome any possible impurity. We will be teaching the washing of the hands in a whole different class. It's not part of the seven blessings, yet it needs to be included in this list for another reason. I'm continuing the items. There's another blessing over wine and grape juice. That's the seventh. Is it the highest? Is it the lowest? What is the hierarchy of this list? We're going to discuss each of these in a separate section, along with the actual blessing. We probably won't finish that class, all of the seven blessings, and definitely not the three after blessings today. We'll see how far we get, and we'll see the process that we go through. Let's begin to understand why they are not higher or lower, and why they are not better or worse. Everything is created by Hashem. Human beings were created with a purpose. The mosquito is created with a purpose. Does God care more for a human being than a mosquito? We human beings would like to think so. Yet, actually, does a mother or father love one of their creations more than the other? One of their children more than the other? I know parents who do, and I know parents who don't. Who do you think children are the happier? Everything receives from Hashem. What is their need and their desire and their fulfillment? In this context, everything is equal in that everything serves the purposes of God, the purposes that God created it to perform. There's no better or worse. Everything is ultimately fulfilled. Everything is ultimately revealing the light that Hashem wants it to. Remember, I'm not using want in the context of a desire from Hashem. Hashem has no desires. Hashem only wants to share. Hashem only wants to be revealed. Some things were created as food for another thing. Does that relationship make the food less important? I eat a piece of fruit. Is the piece of fruit less important than I am? Without the fruit, I die. Let me speak about a parable that has been told for over 2,000 years. The parts of the body are arguing which part is the most important. The heart says he is the most important. The brain says it is the most important. The legs say they are. The sex organ says it is. Each part thinks they are the most important. The tongue says it is the most important and tells all of the other parts that he will show them why he is the most important. The person finds himself in front of the king, so the tongue starts cursing the king. The king gets upset and sentences the person to die for his insults. All of the parts of the body are worried sick. So the tongue says to them, "Do not worry, I will save you all." The other parts say, "You are the one that got us into this situation. How are you going to save us?" The tongue says, "You will see, and you will remember our discussion. I am the most important part of the body." The tongue tells a guard to tell the king he needs to see him, to save him from some horrible thing. The king comes down to the jail, and the tongue sweet-talks his way out of the predicament. The king changes his mind and frees all of the parts, all of the body. On the way back home, the other parts start arguing about which is the second most important part. There are many spiritual lessons in this parable. The most important is for us to realize how important our words are. And how important it is to say a blessing on the food that we eat. Remember, whether you are eating or are being eaten, Hashem created you and Hashem will take care of you. You were created for a reason. Enjoy the process and love Hashem, because Hashem loves you. Learn this well. Most people, in one way or another, feel they're inadequate. They don't deserve Hashem's love. But you have to do nothing to earn Hashem's love. You have to do something for you to feel that you've earned Hashem's love. To feel that you merit Hashem's love. Understand that parable, that paradox very well. It's now time to talk about these seven blessings over food. Earlier in our class, I think it was the first or second class, I gave you the Kavanah for the basic blessing without the final words. I've given you two links here. The class recording explaining those. Baruch Atah Hashem, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. And the Kavanah itself, the handout from that class. Here is the She'akol blessing. What is the She'akol blessing? It's that first one I listed. Other products, as we will see. The She'akol blessing, the following blessing, is said over meat, dairy products, and drinks, other than wine. One recites this blessing whenever one is taking a snack. And not a full meal with these products. Other items that we say this blessing are snack items, generally. Potatoes fried in oil and other similar discussions. I am sure you will ask questions about this. In general, the She'akol blessing covers a variety of food groups, and is generally used as a blessing of last resort. If you don't know what to say, the words of the She'akol blessing will activate that food. If you have an apple, which is a blessing of a ha'eitz from the tree, and you don't realize it, you're not informed yet, you're not knowledgeable yet, and you say the She'akol, the apple will become activated. there it would be better to activate it with the Eighth Blessing. But you are on the level of knowledge that you're on. Better to say a blessing than to not say it. Even better to say a wrong blessing over the food than to not say a blessing at all. If something does not fit in any other category, then the blessing is Shakol, which is this blessing. I'm going to bring something here that I will discuss later on at the end of the blessings, at the end of the discussion of the blessings. Not today, another day, but I want to bring it here to give you some true understanding. The rabbis, the sages are very clear. If you have a full meal, then you should eat bread. And when you say the blessing on bread, you do not have to say, it's not required to say anything else, any other blessing. Let's take the example, in our culture, a full meal can consist of French fries and a hamburger. Because God forbid it's a cheeseburger, but even that, a blessing should be said. This is considered a snack or a full meal. The rabbis would say, since there's bread there, it's a full meal. There is another halakha that somewhat contradicts this order, this statement, this pattern. That halakha says, if you are eating a mixture of things and they're not bread, then the consciousness that you have of what item in that mixture is the most important to you, the one that you desire more than any other thing, that is the blessing to say first. And then blessing on the other categories of food. But what do you do if the sandwich is only a carrier, the bread is only a carrier for the meat, as is the case with most people ordering a hamburger? They don't want the bread. They don't perceive the bread as the primary reason for what they're eating. What is their consciousness? What blessing should be said? And I've already answered you. The rabbis say, bread, that is the blessing. Yet, this other halakha seems to contradict it. Which you choose to do will be up to you. Do you have the time to say all of this ritual? Or is it a quick snack for you? Then what blessing you say will be different. I will be discussing all of this in detail as we go through the blessings themselves. So please don't be confused by it, but understand that it's a very important part of the process of learning about blessings. The blessing of Shakol goes like this. Baruch Atah Adonai. Ha'olam shehakol nihiyah Bidvaro. The translation, blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, whose word brings about all things. Within this blessing, there are codes and kavanah. The first three letters of the last three word spells express passion. When you are saying a blessing over food, express your passion for the desire for what it is you're eating. If that alone is a reason to say a blessing, and to stop and think before you eat because you're fearful and not hungry, because you're not even aware that you're eating and you're not hungry, is this really what you want to do? We all know about eating disorders. Saying a blessing will cause you to bring the unconscious level of eating into the conscious realm. And it will stop a great amount of this unconscious negative dietary patterns that human beings have. The second letters of the last three words is an acronym for the phrase, as it is written, or the echo. The first letters of those words, the second letters of those words. Each is spelling a different word. It's a code within the blessing. The third letter of the last three words spells the word ulcer. Use this as a vaccine to prevent ulcers. And we also learn from this, these are the types of foods that cause ulcers. The fourth letter of the last three words spells the phrase, teach a mountain, which is a code word for teach Torah. Or in reverse, Torah teaches. The fifth letter of the last three words spells the 11th name from the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. This name connects to the Sefirah of Bina through its gematria of 41, which is the gematria of the word mother. What is that? It's actually, I shouldn't have said the fifth letter. It's the last letter of each of the three words. Lamed Hei Vav. That is the 72 name of this from the Tzaddikim, the 11th name. What is the meaning of that has not yet been revealed. But I will tell you very clearly, it's connected to the month of Sivan. And it's connected to the first 5 days of that preparation for the receiving of the Torah. There is also a kavanah, a meditation that is good for water, that's included, not included, but can be utilized as your kavanah, as part of saying Sha'akol. You all know the adage that there is no disappearance in spirituality. This applies especially to water. There was a corruption in the lower waters when the flood of Noah took place. When an item like water, which relates to the frame of Chesed, was used in the frame of judgment, like when it was used in the flood, that item always has a reshima, an impression of that action within it. Water was changed from before the flood to after the flood. We need to change it back. To understand the idea of a reshima, let's look at the idea of why it is important for a woman to limit the number of different men that deposit sperm within her womb. Each man who deposits sperm leaves a reshima of that sperm in her womb. And males being males, it is constantly attempting to exercise control over the other males, the other reshimot that is within the womb. There is a conflict taking place in a woman's womb all the time. If there has been a different man copulating with her, creating zavug with her. This conflict between the reshima of each man is why there is so much chaos for her life. God cursed the woman with difficulty in pregnancy. He cursed her with her period. He cursed her in other ways. One of the paths and creations of that chaos comes from this process. I know in this world of women's lib, in this world where pregnancy can be controlled, that those risks are minimized. But we know we have also other issues, sexually transmitted diseases, and we have other issues. I am not saying a woman should not have many partners, but she needs to understand the impact of those partners on her. There are ways to remove this chaos, but the reshima will always be there. But there are ways to remove the strength of that impression, which reduces the chaos. It is important to return the water of life, which is what we drink or cook with, to its original pre-flood consciousness. We do that with a meditation and a consciousness to do so using the sequence from the level of Tiferet of the Anabakoach. The third verse of the Anabakoach, the last three letters, Yud Kaf Shin. Remember what we say during the Anabakoach? Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that takes back the energy from the negative side that we have given over to the negative side through our mistakes. That's what the flood was, the effect of our mistakes. The effect of our mistakes caused the water of life to transform, to be corrupted by givurah, by judgment, when it was used in that way. We need to change it back. Yud Kaf Shin is a meditation that will assist us in achieving that goal. That is what we do when we meditate on that sequence over a bottle of water prior to saying the Shekel blessing, or a glass of water. There are other meditations as well to return the water to its pre-flood consciousness. But this is a good beginning. We're almost out of time anyway. Remember, the strength of this meditation is a function of your focus and concentration. The more you practice focus and concentration and Kabbalistic meditation, the more you return the water to its pre-flood consciousness. We are out of time. One second, Joe. We are out of time. I'm not going to go through the Hi-Eights blessing, which is what's written next. And the next time we come back to this page, we will start with the other six blessings and then go on to the three blessings afterwards and then continue our discussion. As you can see, there is a lot to learn about blessings. If there are any questions or comments, and I know Joe has one.
All right, I have a question. You said the you want to revert back to the water that existed before the flood, to that state. What state was that water in? What difference is
it? Joe, you're using your physical senses. You're looking at a glass of water, or you're looking at a stream. Is there any difference in the water? The scientists will run tests on it, and they'll tell you that there's so many parts per million of impurities in the water that's of the running stream, and there's so many parts of per million of impurities in the glass of water. Is there a difference between the two water if the impurities are exactly the same? The answer that I will give you does not make logical sense. There is a difference in the consciousness of a water molecule that's in a vessel like a glass and a water molecule that is like in a running stream. That's why a mikveh takes water that has never gone through pipes. It has to be rainwater or spring water because there's a difference in the consciousness. Spring water, rainwater has a higher level of consciousness and removes a greater amount of impurity. The water of the earth was pure before the flood. And after the flood, it became impure to the extent of the consciousness of chesed being used for gevurah. It takes a lot of meditation and thought to truly understand that statement. But there is a difference in the water. And it cannot be tested for scientifically. Any other questions or comments?
My husband and I don't eat bread at meals. Does that matter, or should we be breaking up a little bit of pasta and eat a teeny bit with every meal?
Thank you for the question, Connie. It's a personal decision. The only place that I would strongly recommend you have the matzah rather than the bread, and actually I would suggest that you have bread rather than matzah, is on Shabbat. But if you, by your dietary choice, want the matzah over the bread, on Shabbat you should do that. The other days of the week, there's no need to. I do not eat bread the other days of the week. That's my personal choice. I know that when I eat grain products, my metabolism puts an awful lot of weight on my body. Those are the carbohydrates that some of the scientists today say are the bad carbohydrates and so forth. Not getting into that issue of the science, not getting into the issue of dieting. The question is, what do you want? What is your consciousness? When you sit down to eat, are you feeding your body because you're hungry? Are you feeding your body to give it energy to perform mitzvot? Or are you feeding your body to give it energy to perform Averot, sins? Are you giving your body energy Or are you giving pleasure to the Creator, which is considered the highest level of consciousness when we eat? The only reason Rabbi Akiva ever ate was it gave the Creator pleasure to see him use the tools that the Creator had created for him, an apple, a pear, or some other process, some other food. Very much lots of kavanah, lots of intention, lots of deeper understandings in the blessings. Most of my students do not say blessings yet, and I'm stressing, please start. And over time, you'll learn what to say, when to say it, how to say it, what are the rules. These classes will help you achieve that knowledge. But the sooner you start it is the sooner you start to activate those other levels of energy. Any other questions or comments?
Is the class tomorrow at 7:30 starting?
Thank you for calling Sprint. Para español, muerte en cinco. For questions about your Sprint bill, just block your current Sprint.
Excuse me a second.
No, or to speak to a customer care representative, press 1. To establish new service, add services to an existing account, or speak with a sales representative, press 2. To check the status of an existing web or telesales.
I'm not sure if the call's being heard, because I press some buttons inappropriately. So I am going to disconnect. Okay. You're still there, then I don't need to do anything. I'm sorry, Joe, what was your question?
Is the class tomorrow at 7:30 starts?
Yes, to make announcements for classes. There are a lot of upcoming new classes and special events due to the 3-week period. Tomorrow night, we have a new class titled Torah and Science. I think you will find it very interesting how our sages knew scientific facts thousands of years and hundreds of years before our modern science has caught up to it. That class starts at 7:30 Monday evening, West Coast time. Thursday night is a new class about Mashiach. And both of these classes will be a fairly lengthy series of classes. The Mashiach class will actually be looking at what does the prophets truly say, so that when you hear words coming out of Israel or New York telling us it's time, Mashiach is here, and he is, but you should know what the prophets say themselves for yourself so that you can evaluate these words appropriately. This next Sunday is a fast day, even though it's the 18th day of Tammuz. The 17th day, which starts the meditations of the 3 weeks, and would normally be a fast day, that fast is put off till Sunday because of the honor of Shabbat. That also applies to the fast of Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is on the Shabbat this year. There are certain high tzaddikim, who left the world during this three-week period, that assist us. And by making connections to those tzaddikim and allowing them, asking them to connect us to the Creator more directly than we can do on our own. One of those is on the 27th of Tammuz, 10 days from that Sunday. You'll be getting the email pad, that list at the beginning of the email this morning. Please take a closer look at it. But the 4 days are the Hilulah, the death anniversary of Joseph HaSadiq, the death anniversary of Rashi, a foremost sage who was a Kabbalist but veiled his words to be not in the frame of Kabbalah. Rosh Chodesh Av and the Hilulah, which is an all-night study of Rabbi Isaac Luria, the Ari. Please mark your calendars with these events. Please join us for these new classes. I think you'll enjoy the classes, and I know the events will be helpful to us. This month of Tammuz is difficult, and those first 10 days of Av are not any easier. In fact, God forbid they get to be more difficult. Please pay attention to the meditations. Pay attention to the Jewish calendar, because it teaches you about the energy in the universe. Are there any other questions or comments? I wish you all to have a wonderful, beautiful week. Shalom all.